So in your Bibles, we're in Mark chapter number 1. We began a series last Wednesday night, and I believe to some extent it's a follow-up. We did last year a series in the Sermon on the Mount, and we saw that near the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, he preached a great sermon, the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived. And that's Jesus Christ. And he preached that Sermon on the Mount, but that was intended for the disciples. And we looked at that message and we saw, how can we be discipled by Christ? How can we take the teaching of Christ and apply that to our lives? And it began at the Beatitudes. And I'm still being challenged by the Beatitudes. My wife had something made for me. She had the Beatitudes listed and she put it on a nice piece of wood and it sit there in my office. And so every time I sit there on my desk, I see those Beatitudes. And it's a great reminder. But we're dealing here with a particular aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we're talking about the ministry of prayer, and really this series is twofold. I want us to first look at the example of Jesus Christ in His life, the prayer life that He had. And then the second aspect of this series will be to the actual prayers He prayed and also to the instructions He gave concerning prayer. And so that's a twofold thing. First of all, we look at the life of Christ, and we must seek to pattern our life after His life. Our desire, ultimate goal in our lives ought to be, we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the pursuit. It must be the pursuit of our lives. And then the second aspect of that is to follow His instructions concerning prayer and to be willing to change our prayer life. I think we would all admit that there's areas in our lives that we would say that, this area I need some work on. But often, I believe an area that is often neglected is our prayer life, where we think we don't need any adjustment. We think that we're fine and we prayed a certain way most of our lives, and we think that we're fine, but let's be instructed by the Lord and follow His example in this series. And so, we come to the second time that we find Jesus Christ praying. And so, we find ourselves here in Mark chapter number 1. And we'll begin here in chapter number 1 and then go to a parallel passage found in the Gospel according to Luke. And so Mark chapter number 1, I'm going to read a little bit of the background because that's going to help us as we consider His prayer. And so I want us to begin in Mark 1 and verse 21. And this is, again, in verse 21, this is the day before Jesus Christ is going to rise up early in the morning and pray. So notice what happens all during the day before. So Mark 1:21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with Thee, Thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art Thou come to destroy us? I know Thee, who Thou art, the Holy One. Now this is in the synagogue, in the service. This man, possessed with a demon, comes, and this is a special service there. Verse 25, and Jesus rebuked them, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth He even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him." And immediately His fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon of Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, so his mother-in-law, lay sick of a fever, and Annan they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, so you see that, they go to the synagogue in the morning, now we're at evening, but the day's not done. The Bible tells us, verse 32, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So that's a busy day. And I would imagine as the sun set, the Bible talks about many people coming. I think it means many people coming. That means he was there for a while. But notice verse 35. and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Busy time. I want us to go to the parallel account we find in Luke chapter number 4. And so if you go a few pages there to your right, in Luke chapter number 4, just a few verses there, verse 42 through 44. So Luke 4, verse 42, the Bible says this, And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him. So when he went to that desert place, it was when he went to pray. And the people were going after him, as we saw in the account of Mark, and came unto him and stayed him, and that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, I want to preach this evening on this, and really this is a second aspect, if you would, because last week we looked at the first time that is mentioned that Jesus Christ prayed, and that was found in His baptism, at the beginning of His ministry. It was not an audible prayer. It was as He was being baptized. The Bible tells us, God reveals to us, that at that moment He was praying, not audibly, but silently in His heart. And so, although He was in a public place at His baptism, as many people observed, His prayer was silent. Now we find Him in a different setting here. The second time we find Jesus Christ praying. And now, the first one was the silent prayer of Christ, but now the second one is this, and that's the message this evening, is the secluded place of prayer. The secluded place of prayer. The first was public but silent, but this prayer was private. Jesus went apart from all other people for a time of prayer. Now, I want us to consider, just before we go into the message, what happened the day before. We read the account. It was the Sabbath day. It was a busy day. In the morning, he taught in the synagogue. He was involved in casting a demon out. We saw then he went to the house of Simon and he healed his mother-in-law. And then after that, you find that when the sun is setting down, then there's a multitude of people that come to him and he heals them. He heals the sick. He casts out demons and he goes on and on. And so no doubt it was a late night. And then we find that before the sun rose that morning, he goes out apart to pray. I think that that is interesting for us to consider that in the midst of a busy day before, he did not neglect his spiritual communion with the Father. Now, I want us to consider, if you go back to Mark chapter number 1 and look at the account here, because the word that we find here, as he goes out apart, he doesn't just go apart. There was a specific purpose for him coming apart, and the Bible tells us this in verse 36 of chapter number, or verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Now again, we see what Jesus Christ is doing. We do not know what he prayed. The words are not recorded for us. But we do know this, is that he set himself apart for the specific purpose of praying, and he found a secluded place to do that. The word pray that we find here in Mark 1:34 carries with it a twofold aspect of praying, which is, it involves supplication and also worship. Our prayers must include both aspects of supplication and worship, or if you want to put it in, petitions and praise. Now I want us to consider, because here I believe that there's some great lessons for us that we can learn as we stand back and observe the life of Christ. His ministry is beginning, and you find, as we looked at last week, that throughout His life you find times here and there, in the midst of all of His busyness, that He always found time to pray. At times it was silent prayer where nobody heard it. At times it was in a secluded place. At times it was public and everybody heard him. But we find that it is clear to us that he had a life of prayer. And the pattern that we find in the life of Jesus Christ is the pattern we find in the first century church. And I believe to that the first century church and the disciples, the first apostles, they saw the life of Christ, they heard his instructions, and they therefore followed his example. And that's exactly what we're to do. So let's consider several truths that we find in this passage. First of all, I want us to consider, number one, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. First of all, we see in verse 35, the Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day." I want us to consider in his priority of prayer, first of all, he prioritized the spiritual over the physical. He prioritized the spiritual over the physical. Now, after a time of great busyness in the on the Sabbath day, the day before, one would encourage Christ to take some needed rest. Often, after a busy day or a late day, we take some extra day time to sleep on the next day. We try to catch up and get some rest. But here, Jesus Christ prioritized a spiritual need over his physical need. The Bible tells us here that, and by the way, physical rest is necessary. I'm not saying that you should never get some rest. You should be wore out, always tired. That's not what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, Mark 6:31, Jesus instructed his disciples to come apart for a time of rest and leisure. In Mark 6:31, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." And so Jesus Christ saw that they were so busy that they didn't even have time to rest. And so Jesus Christ says, let's come apart for a time and rest. So I am not saying that we should not rest and we should always do the spiritual over the physical. What I am saying is that physical rest is a necessity of life. For one, will be more effective when you're a rested person and you won't be as cranky and as emotional. However, there are times when the spiritual need in our lives must take precedence over the physical need. There are times in our lives when the spiritual need in our lives must take precedence over our physical need. I'm not negating the physical needed rest. I'm simply stating that the spiritual need is of greater value and importance to our well-being. We need physical rest, but how much more do we need the spiritual answers to our lives? You see, everyone has had to sacrifice their physical rest for something that they desire to achieve. I think everybody perhaps has gone through that. Someone, for example, starting a business will often spend long hours and neglect their bodies, neglect eating for the sake of accomplishing what is needful for the good of the business. The question we must ask ourselves is this: which one in our lives generally suffers at the hand of the other? If you think about your physical needs and your spiritual needs, which one most often or generally suffers at the hand of the other? That's something that I cannot answer for your life. I'll answer for my life personally. I won't divulge that answer. But I think we pretty much have all the same answer. You see, I believe we would find that it is easier to neglect the spiritual need for the sake of the physical than it is to neglect the physical for the sake of the spiritual. And so consider this, that after a busy day where he had rightful rest, he chose the spiritual need over the physical. Now, let me stop and say this. We do not see Jesus Christ doing this every day, but we see him doing it. So we consider, first of all, that he prioritized the spiritual over the physical, but secondly, he prioritized the silence over the performance. What I mean by that is the Bible tells us here that in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now, what does day mean? That means everybody wakes up when day hits and everybody gets busy and life goes on. And so what he does here, he prioritizes the silence over the performance. In other words, the expression here, a great while before day, would indicate that Christ rose up while it was still dark. We understand that he had a late evening the day before, and now he is rising up before anyone else rises. Jesus Christ not only tended to the necessities of his ministry, he also tended to the necessities of his fellowship with the Father. Furthermore, our Lord shows us that the fellowship with the Father was first. You see, we can tend to think that our service for God is our fellowship with God. We can tend to think that. However, we must understand that a true service for God comes out of a proper fellowship with God. You see, by rising up a great while before day, Christ would eliminate distractions. Based upon his previous day, we understand that he would be in demand and very busy. And we would find that a little later. Christ sought fellowship with the Father when there was no one around. The testimony of our Christian life is not found in the time we spend in the presence of others, but rather in the time we spend in the presence of the Father. And so he prioritized the silence over the performance. So consider, first of all, the priority of prayer. And I'll say this again, that this is not saying that every night you should spend all night praying. This is not saying that every morning you should wake up 3 hours before sunrise and pray every single morning. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is there are seasons where there are spiritual needs, where the spiritual must take precedence over the physical. And so we see the priority of prayer, but number two, we see the place of prayer. The first time we saw Jesus Christ praying, he was praying in a public place, in a public setting, where people, thousands of people had been gathering for days, listening to John the Baptist announce the coming of the Messiah, and finally Messiah comes, and they're probably all standing there with just in awe to think he's been preaching about him. Now Jesus Christ comes and he asks for him to be baptized of him. And John the Baptist at first says, I shouldn't do this. I should be baptized of you. And in the midst of that setting, when there's thousands of people gathered around, in the middle of his baptism, although it is public, he was praying silently. But here, he is not in a public place. The place he goes, the Bible tells us, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That's a different aspect of prayer. The first one was in public silence, but the second one is in a secluded place. And so consider several truths about the place of prayer. First of all, we see the departure to the place. The Bible tells us here, puts those three words, he went out. That means he left some place. We know three things about this departure, the departure to the place. First of all, consider this. We see his willingness to be uncomfortable. His willingness to be uncomfortable. When our Lord went out, he was not leaving because he was uncomfortable in the place he was staying. He was in a house. He was sleeping. He had some rest because the Bible tells us he rose up in the morning. That means he had some, we don't know how long, but he had some time to sleep. That's the comfortable place. Anybody like your bed? Your bed's comfortable. And when you wake up in the morning, you say, I don't want to get out. That's the comfortable place. But rising up early in the morning, you leave what is comfortable. To be in a place that is not comfortable. Let me tell you, in that secluded place, he didn't find comfort physically. The Bible puts in the record, according to the Gospel of Luke, it was a desert. In other words, there was no house and bed there. There was no hammock, okay, between two trees. That's not the way it was. And so we see his willingness to be uncomfortable. You see, nothing drove him out of the house where he was staying. He chose to rise up. He was willing to be uncomfortable. And we see that he left a comfortable place. He was willing to be uncomfortable. But secondly, not only do we see his willingness to be uncomfortable, but number two, we see his willfulness to be undisturbed. When our Lord went out, he did so because he did not want to be disturbed. He was fully aware that the disciples would be seeking for him first thing in the morning. And so they were. He knew that based upon the day before, you remember we just read earlier, that his fame went throughout all the region. And so everybody was hearing about it. People were getting a hold of other people, their neighbors, telling you, here's a man that can heal you. And so the whole area was just buzzing, and people were going to seek for Jesus Christ. But here we see that he rose up early. Why? Because he was willful to be undisturbed. He was fully aware that the disciples would seek him first thing in the morning, that many people would. He knew that there would be a busy day ahead. Therefore, he purposed to be undisturbed. The Bible tells us in verse 36, notice of Mark 1, 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. A lot of people were looking for Jesus. But you see, he was willful to be undisturbed. Had the Lord not went out and been willful to be undisturbed, he would have been confronted first thing in the morning by the disciples and a multitude of unrelenting people. You know, I think it is true in our lives that often we purpose to do certain things, but sometimes in our unwillingness to be, or our willfulness to be not uncomfortable but comfortable, we find that when the day finally breaks, life just goes on, and then you can't catch up. You can't go back to the place that you wanted to have. Why? Because life just keeps going on. Anybody that has children understands that. First thing in the morning, they wake up, that's it for your day. You can say goodbye to your day, okay? You're going to be busy all day, and you're going to be disturbed all day. And so, he was willful in his to be undisturbed. But thirdly, not only do we see his willingness to be uncomfortable, his willfulness to be undisturbed, but thirdly, we see his wisdom to be unaccompanied. The Bible tells us that he went out. It reveals his wisdom to be unaccompanied. He went out by himself. We must understand that our fellowship with the Father must take place individually. Now, there are times in the record when we find Jesus Christ praying. He prayed with his disciples. He instructed his disciples how to pray. And we find all those important things, but here he sought for a time alone. He left his companions. What Christ accomplished in prayer, he could not accomplish with his disciples. There are certain aspects of the Christian life that must be unaccompanied. That must be something where it's just us and the Lord. You see, the essence of our Christian life is not what we do in a group, because when we meet in church, it's easy to go along with everyone. But when we're all alone, that's a different story. You see, we must have the wisdom of Christ to perform certain aspects of our Christian life being unaccompanied. And so, we see, first of all, in the place of prayer, the departure to the place. But secondly, we see the desert of the place. The Bible says here in the Mark account, it calls it a solitary place. If you go to the record in Luke 4:42, the Bible calls this place a desert place. Now, the reference to a solitary place and to a desert place is not speaking of a sandy and dry area that we commonly think today as a desert. That's not what that desert means. Rather, this expression refers to a place that is deserted by mankind. In other words, it would be a place that you would go to where nobody else was. Now, there could be animals, there could be trees, there could be birds chirping, but there was no other human being in sight. That's the reference to a desert place. That is why the Bible uses the word solitary. He was alone. This was simply a place where no one else could be found. And so understand, when we think about this place of prayer, there is time for corporate prayer. There is time for us to pray together as a family. But there must be a time when every individual Christian is alone with God. There must be that time. And that's what Jesus Christ was seeking for in this place. So we see the departure to the place, the desert of the place. But thirdly, we see the demand of the place. Let me ask you this. What takes place in the solitary place? The Bible says in verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place." For what? And there, prayed. You see, being that this was a solitary place, being that this was an unaccompanied and undisturbed place, there was no better place to pray. You see, we must put ourselves in such a place that demands prayer. You see, the trouble is that we often never come to the solitary place. We never come to the place where we're undisturbed. We never come to the place where we're unaccompanied. We never get to the place where we're in a secluded place. We never come to this unaccompanied, undisturbed place, and therefore, we cannot meet the demands of prayer. There is nothing for him to do in this place but pray. We live in a world that is so busy. We have everything imaginable. From the little gadgets in the pocket to the things that we do around the house, the things we do in the gardens. There's always something to do. There is always something to do. And we must recognize that if we are going to find a private place of prayer, it's going to have to be purposeful. You see, the reason why often we don't get to the place of prayer is we never find that solitary place. We are always in a place of busyness. We're always in a place where we're either accompanied by someone or by something or by distraction. When there's things that disturb us in that particular place. But here Jesus Christ comes to the place where there's no disturbances. It's just Him and the Heavenly Father. So we consider the priority of prayer, the place of prayer, but thirdly, we consider the pressure in prayer. The Bible tells us in verse 36, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." The account in Luke 4:42, the Bible says, "And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them." So consider the Jesus Christ found this time of prayer. He rose up early. He was willing to be uncomfortable. He went to the place where he would be undisturbed, unaccompanied, so that he could have that time of prayer with God. Why? Because of the pressure that was there. If he did not find this place of prayer, I mean, we find as soon as the sun rises, everybody's looking for Jesus. Life happens. He's going to go on and he's going to teach and he's going to heal and he's going to do all kinds of wonderful things. And to understand that our lives, as the life of Jesus Christ was, is going to be pressured. And the pressures of this life will take us away from the things that are most needful in our lives. And so consider, first of all, we have the pressure of mankind. The Bible tells us here that Simon, that's Peter, and they that were with him, followed after him. And when they had found him, they said, All men seek for thee. So everybody, there's a buzz, and everybody hears about Jesus Christ and what he did on the Sabbath day. Now everybody's looking for Jesus. Simon's looking for Jesus. The disciples are looking. They go to the room. Are you there? He's not there. Everybody's looking for him. Where is he? You see, it is apparent that when the day was breaking, there were many people looking for Jesus. All men seek for thee. The people sought him. The expression we find there, followed after, means to hunt down. It doesn't mean that they saw him get up and then they followed him. No. To follow after means that they were trying to track where he went. They were hunting him down. The busyness of life was looking for him. And guess what? The busyness of life is looking for us too. It just goes on and on. It doesn't stop. You see, there are pressures that come. We have the pressure of mankind, the idea of people. And the truth is today, isn't it easier than ever to find people? You can get something as simple as this in the morning. First thing in the morning, you get a text. Someone wants some answers. Someone has a question. Someone has something to say. You have the social media today. If you do these things, someone tweets. And there you go. Someone posts something on Facebook. There's all kinds of avenues. There's all kinds of things that are there. The pressure of mankind will take us away from the place of prayer. But also there's the pressure of ministry. And what I mean by that is the idea of just serving. But here particularly we're thinking about Christ. And it's the ministry here because the Bible tells us here, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said, 'All men seek for thee.'" Why were they seeking for him? Because they wanted more of what he had done the day before. They wanted the healing. They wanted the preaching in the synagogue. They wanted the teaching. They wanted the demons cast. They wanted to see all those things. The Bible says in Luke 4:42, "And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them." We further notice the word "stayed" in Luke 4:42. The word "stayed" means to restrain. So finally, the people find Jesus Christ, and he says, "We got to go on and preach," and they try to stop him. They try to restrain him. Why? Because they wanted his audience. When there is the pressure to be involved in ministry, there must be a realization that the ministry itself can take us away from what we should be doing first. From what is number one. You see, we can very often find ourselves doing things for God without God. Or having the idea that because we do something for God, it means that we have fellowship with God. And so understand that there is the pressure of mankind. There's the pressure of ministry, the things that you do in this life. But there's also, and isn't it like this? Maybe you wake up in the morning, you think of all the things you've got to do. You say, "Well, wait a minute, I don't have time." What do you mean, spend time with the Lord in prayer? Look, I got a list of things to do. I got things to accomplish. I have errands to run. I have people to meet. I have places to be at. I have things to do for the service for God. I don't have time for God. Now, we don't say that. But that's what happens. So there's the pressure of mankind, there's the pressure of ministry, but also thirdly, there's the pressure of mobilizing. Notice here, the Bible says the people in Luke 4:42, the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Had Christ spent all of his time fulfilling the wishes of every person's demand, he would never have been able to fulfill the Father's demands. You see, often the demands of the people were misplaced. They wanted to mobilize him where he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. Isn't that what happens often in our lives? We get pulled direction here and there. And it takes us away from the things we are supposed to do that are more important. You see, many who were requesting the presence of Christ wanted physical deliverance. They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to be delivered from the Roman emperor, and so at one particular time they wanted to set him up as king. They sought for everything that Christ could give that was temporal, while all along neglecting what was the most needful. And you find that when Jesus Christ ultimately did not give them what they sought for, or not enough of it, they turned on him eventually and said, "Crucify him." You see, all of those pressures stand against prayer. Pressure of people, mankind, pressure of ministry, and the pressure of mobilizing everything that comes into your life that takes you away from what is the number one thing that we ought to be doing. But I want you to consider one last point, and that is this, the performance after prayer. So, we have to answer this question, why did he pray? If it was that important, and if we saw that he purposely did that because he knew the business that would be at hand, why did he pray? Why do we pray? The Bible tells us here in Mark 1:38, "And he said unto them, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth.' And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." In the parallel account, we find in Luke 4:43, Jesus said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Now, prayer brings us to the place where we keep the right priorities. You see, when we make the right priority as Christ did when it comes to prayer, then it helps us to keep the right priorities. You see, if we miss that priority in our life, we will often miss all the other priorities that we ought to take place in our lives. First of all, prayer will allow us to keep our purpose distinct. You see, in Luke 4:43, Jesus said, they try to restrain him. They try to keep him there. Go ahead, do your miracles. Preach to us. Teach to us. And Jesus said, I have to move on. I have to go to other cities. And he says, for therefore am I sent. The word sent means to be set apart. You see, Christ was sent to accomplish something that only He could accomplish. And no one who was going to stop Him from that. Although there was all those pressures. Throughout His ministry, you find many people opposing what He wanted to accomplish. And sometimes it was even the disciples themselves. Jesus Christ told them, He says, I must be betrayed into the hands of sinners and go to Jerusalem. And Peter grabs Him by the arm and says, I'll come over here. No, you're not going to do that. We're not going to allow that. The pressures of those that were with Him. But you see, if we find that place where Jesus Christ was praying, we would find that often in our prayer lives, when we give that the priority, it reprioritizes things in our lives. And therefore, we understand in that priority, it helps us keep our purpose distinct. God has given us something to do. You see, if we don't start with the Lord, we will go through the day ignoring what He wants us to do. But if you begin in prayer and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want to do Your will today. We begin that way, it helps us stay that way throughout the day. But often when we begin by missing, by having the wrong priorities, then it throws everything in a mess. And all the priorities that we ought to have are out the window. And so it keeps our purpose distinct. You see, but also prayer will allow us to keep our preaching distinct. And we could use the word message here. Jesus Christ said in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. In Mark 1:38, He said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. And therefore came I forth. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. You see, because He started in prayer, as the pressures of the people come around Him and say, and try to restrain Him and try to stop Him from what He is supposed to do, from what He has been set apart to do, from what the message that He's supposed to propagate, you find that this time of prayer kept those priorities right. And it will also help us to keep our priorities right. You know, every day has a particular purpose. Are we aware that God does not look at any day and say, I want you to waste that day? No, He has something specific for each day. Special purpose and a special message, and He wants to use us in each one of those days to accomplish His will. But often, the pressures of this life will keep us away from doing what we ought to be doing. So let me ask you this. I believe that we emphasize at First State Baptist Church prayer, and we ought to be a praying church. That is the life of the church. It is. But let me ask you this aspect. Have you personally found this secluded place of prayer? Now, you don't have to go to a desert. It could be something in your home. The Bible talks about a closet. I believe that's a secluded place. Have you found the secluded place of prayer? But number two, have you allowed people, places, and busyness to be a distraction from your time of prayer? Have you prioritized your service for God to the neglect of your fellowship with God? Have you made your service for God a substitute for your communion with God? You see, as we look at the example of Jesus Christ, do you see the lesson the disciples learned on that day? Jesus Christ rises before the day breaks. He goes to a place where no one is to spend some time in prayer. What do you think the disciples did the first thing when they woke up? The Bible tells us. They were looking for Jesus. There's people accompanying Simon looking for Jesus. The Bible says all men were seeking for Him. The first thing that was on their mind was, well, what do we got to do in this day? What's the next thing that comes up? And there was, in the life of the disciples, there wasn't that time of silence and of seclusion, but they went on about the business of the day. And I think that often we can find ourselves in the same place, where we just go on through life and every day, and we say to ourselves, well, look, I go to church. Well, I read my Bible. Well, I try to be a witness. Well, I do this and that. And we never get to the place of seclusion and communion with the Father. We must find that place. There is a place for us to have a spirit of prayer throughout the day. We don't have to always be in a closet on our knees with our hands folded in prayer. We can pray as we're driving down the road. You can pray as you're walking, as you're exercising. You can pray whenever you want. You have access to the Heavenly Father. You can pray as a group together. You can pray as a family. You can have all those times of prayer. But there must be a time of prayer in a secluded place. There has to be a one-on-one time with you and the Heavenly Father of communion. Everything in your Christian life will come out of that. And so, may the Lord help us.